Welcome to the Behind the Racket Pod, the podcast taking you behind the racket with today's top tennis players and biggest issues facing the sport.
Behind the Racket is a community to give fans and players in the world of tennis the opportunity to open up like they have never done before.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. It can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com.
Special thanks to my sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at NewBalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
You can also help support the podcast by visiting patreon.com/BehindTheRacketPod and receive rewards from our travels around the world. And now,
if you were on the Twitter over the weekend, there was, of course, a very famous photo, now famous already after just a day and a half, 2 days, of a group of, I think, 70-ish men, no women, standing in some level of solidarity behind the PTPA, the Professional Tennis Players Association, a union-ish type of a situation.
Can't
and much to, I guess 2/3 of our listening audience, there in the background, a black shirt with a white racket, a very tiny little man.
little fella. Of a human.
there was Noah Rubin in solidarity for the PTPA. So we will get to why Noah was there in just a moment. We are coming to you from our respective bubbles. Noah is a tier one, as they call them here at the U.S. Open. I am a tier two. So we are not allowed to interact in any way, shape, or form. Lucky you.
Dreams do come true.
But if I see you on the basketball court, I'm going to dunk on you. How are you?
I'm okay, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I posted another reel because those have been going around lately. Mm. This one without my girlfriend in it. Mm. People know my anxiety surrounding this week and the Open and what it means and having third grade teacher come out for tickets and everything like that. It's been nice. It's been nice to kind of have the ability to go from Arthur Ashe to court 17 in 45 seconds with my fast walking and not see anybody and not be around people. And I spent 3 hours at the top of Arthur Ashe Stadium today just sitting, actually watching Serena practice a little bit and just relaxing. And I'm grateful for that. If you talk about being grateful, I mean, this is something I've always dreamed of. Regardless if I get the chance to play singles, I'm in the doubles. And it's pretty cool, actually. I have to say it's been pretty cool.
I know that once we start playing, I will certainly miss the atmosphere, the fans, in terms of, especially as we mentioned last week with Dr. Katz, you broadcast to fans, you know, using the fans in the stands. And I am not necessarily looking forward to that aspect because I think the fan, the atmosphere brings so much to a tournament, obviously.
The players spoke and said, if we can have fans just in the stands, but having a train just go from court to court, they don't touch the grounds at all. That would be ideal, which is true.
But at the same time, yesterday, as I was walking through to from my credential to where I got my COVID test, it was nice to be able to walk without walking through, thousands of people. As somebody who is anxious around large crowds, that was nice. So it's one of those type of situations. I expressed that to 2 or 3 people that I saw yesterday, and they were all said the same thing. It's just like, we're going to miss the fans a lot, but it's also very nice. It's kind of this double-edged sword thing, right? Your experience been otherwise? I mean, we have not yet really actually talked about the wild card that you received on the double side. Let's see. The news of the day on top of the PTPA, which we'll get to in a second, is that an unnamed player has been removed from the draw in Benoit Paire's spot. Marcel Granollers replacing him, but you are
right.
You have received a wild card. It is my opinion that one of the reasons you and Ernesto and Christopher Eubanks received the wild cards on the double side was so that you would be alternates in this type of scenario. Do you think it is justified for you to get that doubles wild card?
Yeah, we spoke about this. I know there's doubles players that will speak and American doubles players, and I hate taking their spot. You know, if you want to be pissed, be pissed last year. I mean, I'm happy that I got to play with Ty last year, and honestly, we should have won the first round. It was 6-3.
Bambo?
Yeah, Bambo.
Bambo and McLaughlin.
Yeah, and those are the times you could be pissed because I'm just there to, you know, have fun and make some money. But now is the time that you can understand that this is giving myself and with the situation we have now an opportunity to be in the singles draw. So I totally support them being pissed other years. This is not the year for that because it does give me the ability. I mean, I'm not saying it's correct, right or wrong, and they still can be upset. But this is the situation right now.
I've struggled with it quite a bit because, as you know, I'm, and you are as well, friends with several double specialists who are in that area. Yeah. They would need a wild card, and I know how frustrated and upset that they are that, you know, the doubles guys that got wild cards were Monroe and Lammens, and then Christian Harrison with his brother. They're guys who certainly have earned the opportunity over the last couple of years who are not getting it this year. This is such a unique year that I justified it to them when I expressed it, and I don't think they agreed with me, with the fact that you, Eubanks, and Escobedo earned the right to compete at the U.S. Open by virtue of your rankings, or the next Grand Slam, by virtue of your rankings that you would have been in qualies. It was taken away from you. This is kind of like a reward. I don't know that I 100% agree with that at the same time, but it's been very difficult. And how have things gone with you and Neto in terms of preparing? God, you're playing Chapo and Bopana.
Yeah, no, it's Bopana's kicked my ass twice now, both in mixed, I want to say, or one singles possibly, but I mean, one doubles possibly.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's actually been a lot of fun. I really love Neto as a person, you know, which it's been really nice to have some singles practice with him. I got out with a couple other guys, and then we had doubles practice, and that was kind of interesting, and just get the ability to get out there and, you know, practice serve, returns, and stuff we don't get to do often and take a little pressure off. Again, it's been so far a very enjoyable U.S. Open, and then the last 48 hours hit, and then we were all put into a blender as the USTA are and the ATP and all the players, and now we're just trying to make it out.
So yeah, let's just say this
talk about the blender.
let's start with just the, what's it called, the Pulse blender. Let's just talk a little bit about Benoit testing positive. It is, we're recording right now at 5:00
right
On Sunday night. He is going to be withdrawn. He has been withdrawn, replaced, as I mentioned, by Marcel Granollers. You are now, I believe, fourth on the list at this point to get in. I think that's what I saw.
Three, possibly.
I think Purcell's ahead of you. Neto. Okay. I thought I saw that you were fourth.
Okay, maybe Mahut.
That's who it is. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. So those three ahead of you now, on the list. What have you heard in terms of the French? Because right now, guys like Gasquet, Mannarino have been essentially isolated until they sort things out. What have you heard from different players?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tricky. You know, right now, I believe there's four players that are being quote-unquote quarantine. I don't know what you want to call it. They're in their hotels, not really allowed. They weren't allowed on site right now, and the USTA has to figure out what happens with them, you know, has to figure out what this really means for them. So it's a weird situation. This puts a lot of pressure. I mean, you know, the USTA spoke about that they were planning for positives. They were planning for contact tracing. I don't know what that means. You know, yes, you have these guys. There's no way these are the only guys Benoit came in contact with. There's no way there weren't other guys that he was, you know, in the same hotel with. So it's a very unusual situation. We have an amendment. which is what the U.S. Open seems to be enjoying lately. It seems like this is their new MO. And yeah, we had to, this is almost a secondary podcast that we had to bring into this one because of, I guess you can call it breaking news. It seems like 11 players have come in contact with Benoit Paire, close contact, I guess you can say, and they will be playing the tournament. This is, Corona's not new news. We know how it works. We know that they can test 42 times in the next 3, 4, 5 days and still not get a positive result. And it's scary. I mean, they literally have now one, contradicted themselves from Cincinnati last week.
All right, I'm going to have you, yes. I'm going to have you, yeah, just slow down a little bit. Okay. Because okay, yeah, you
I need a grape.
Yeah. You need a lot of things. So what has happened? So we're recording this 3 hours now after we recorded the initial stuff we talked about with Benoit Paire a couple minutes ago. You said now that 11 people have been confirmed to be in contact, and so apparently there's a new...
Close contact.
Okay, close contact with Benoit Paire. And so what's happening to those 11 people?
They have been given new protocol to sign. A new document to sign. This is an amendment to the original documents and waivers we had to sign. This is stating that they will have no access to certain areas, but will still be permitted on the grounds and practice courts and everything like that. They will be still playing the tournament. As I know, these 11 people are all tennis players. I know there are some on the men's and women's side. I think predominantly men, but I'm not 100% sure.
How do you know that number of 11?
This 11 is coming from the French players directly that are quarantined.
Okay.
That's a weird... I don't even know what word to use for them. I think quarantined is
sources.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying for the, you know, for this, because they've only been able... They've been quarantined for, what, 12 hours or whatever it is. So... I mean, fuck. When I say... Close contact is because obviously he's come in contact with others, but these are the people they have a feeling that are close enough to possibly have contracted, if Benoit Paire is a true positive, contracted COVID from him. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, you're not going to do anything? All this work you put in, all the bullshit you threw away saying this is a bubble, this is this. We already know it's not a great bubble. I'm staying at the Garden City Hotel. It's not a sold-out hotel. It's not just players here. We know that only the workers, I believe, in the locker rooms or maybe a few others are the only ones that are staying in the bubble as well. So we know that bus drivers, van drivers, people working around the sites, whatever the case may be, are going home. Mm-hmm. Why do I have to stay in the hotel? Why is this bubble? I get it. It's all for politics. I understand that.
Well, let me just defend it slightly by saying masks are required at all times on every part of the grounds and social distancing. I do need to say that and emphasize that.
Okay. And?
For all those people that are on site. I think that it does need to be stated.
Yeah. I mean, that's a given. But you're talking about you have the chance, and we've heard it many, many times now, you are prepared for positive tests. Here we have them. And what did you do? My best guess is one, if not a couple top players are a part of these 11, and they are not willing to give up their tournament. Maybe 11 is too big of a number to start pulling out of the tournament. Whatever the case is, not only did they contradict what happened to Guido and Hugo last week, but they are basically going against everything that New York has worked for. Like, they said they have worked with the New York State Department of Health on this to get the protocols right. I can only imagine they went up and said, please help us make this work. Somehow, some way, can we get something in writing from you guys that says we can manage this? Anything, please. It's unbelievable. I mean, how can you go on like this? I mean, I can't wait to hear it from their faces and from their voices say, oh, it's okay. You know, you're not going to see them in your locker room with you. No, they're just going to be on the practice courts 2 inches away from me at all times. What are we doing? What is this for? Don't bullshit me with this bubble when everybody's leaving it, when you could do whatever you want at this point. You can hang out with whoever you want. You can literally, it seems like, besides testing positive, you can be with anybody who tests positive and you will be fine. What do we do?
As somebody who has been in New York, obviously a hot spot, are you more offended as a New Yorker or a tennis player?
That's a pretty good question. You should do this more often.
Thanks.
If they truly did work, which I'm sure they had to, with the New York State Department of Health, this worries me that, you know, again, we're in this place where we put sports on a pedestal, and which is on a bigger pedestal than I even imagine. We're not canceling the tournament. That was never up for discussion. We are talking about you putting your due diligence in, finding out the players, which apparently you did, and taking them out of the tournament. And this is nothing against these guys. And you could say that I have ulterior motives, of course. But this is just against being, one, consistent, and playing by the rules of the game. You want to have a major tournament during a pandemic? You want to have that opportunity? Let's make sure that we do the right things right now. Because it's absurd what's going on. I can only imagine the meetings they're having where they're like, this is shitty timing. What do we do? I guess we just have to manage to get through this. So it worries me to no end that unless you test positive, which we very well know can take up to 14 days, which is what New York State says. If you come in contact with somebody who's tested positive, you have to quarantine for 14 days. That's New York State right now. And we have gone past that. So let's see. USA, come up with a really good fucking answer for why we are dealing with this right now.
And now we send you back to our regularly scheduled podcast.
So that's the pulse on the blender. Now let's go to the highest setting that we possibly can, the PTPA. Suddenly, Wednesday, Thursday of last week, we start to hear rumblings that Novak and Vasek are going to start forming this union and asking people to sign up for it over the weekend. Got the exclusive in the New York Times, Ben Rothenberg, Christopher Clary. And then just these little, very little details start coming out about the PTPA. It's not a union, it's an association. And then the photo comes out on Saturday. You and I talked a couple times on Saturday. You were going to go. And then you answered the phone when I talked to you on Saturday night by saying, well, I signed up. And I couldn't believe it. And I'm sure I know I got several messages from people on Twitter saying they couldn't believe you were there and that we have to record a podcast. So I'm going to start by letting you explain why you decided to agree, sign up, whatever it is called, with the PTPA.
Yeah, so obviously we had this meeting at Grandstand. First of all, you know, it's 100-plus guys. We're just sitting around not really knowing what's happening. And then I was just like, I got to hear what's happening. I got to hear them out. What are their plans? What does it all mean? Where do we go from here? And so we're sitting, we first start listening to Vasek, and then Novak starts taking the lead a little bit. And halfway through, everybody there gets a text, a WhatsApp from the ATP, directly from the ATP. And it has like 6 bullet points. It was almost like a beware kind of thing.
Okay.
And it dawned on me. I was like, wow, if a meeting can scare them this much. I mean, bylaws have not even been written for the association yet. So this is just a meeting to see if there could be any support in the future for something like this. And if a meeting can scare them this much, maybe this could be enticing enough for me, because this is what I've always wanted. I don't think personally myself, I mean, obviously I've worked hard with you behind the racket and we're still doing a billion things. I just don't think we have any leverage to really do something like this. So, yeah, do I think Novak can really take me to the Holy Land? I don't know. I'm still skeptical about all of this. And obviously, we've definitely had our differences of opinion. But if somebody can scare the ATP into literally sending a mass communications, which we, for one, we have not gotten all of the pandemic, basically, maybe this can scare them enough into changing the way they do things.
I think the general consensus I've seen from social media is that there is a general agreement with the idea for players to have more of a voice. That generally, you know, whatever that may mean in terms of a union association. The questions I have, Noah, that I would love to hear if you were given answers within the meeting are twofold. Why right now, when tournaments are trying to get back, you know, and everybody's trying to build back towards what is quote unquote normal within the sport of tennis, and frankly, you need agreements from everyone involved to really push forward. So that's number one. And then number two, the lack of female representation at all at this meeting. Vasek said that they're working with women in some way, shape, or form. But those are the two questions that I'm wondering if they were addressed within the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, the number one point to that is, again, people think things are moving along so quickly. This was literally a prelim meeting to see if, because Djokovic had this a few years ago. Mm-hmm.
Right.
He got three people behind him. So this, you know, this, he just needed to see if there's anybody. He got 150 people to sign yes electronically from 150 to 500. And he wanted to see if there was any top players that would get along and guys at the Open. So this is a prelim. I agree. This is not, you know, the right time, I think. But it's just prelim. I mean, they have to work towards having the bylaws. This was just to see, since everybody was in the same place, if they agree that the ATP is not doing a great job. That was basically it. And then the second point to that.
Let me just interrupt before you get to the second point. Is that I don't feel that that has necessarily been portrayed accurately by the two players involved in terms of Vasek and Novak saying that it's just preliminary. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think what you just said sounds fine. I don't know that necessarily what they've said and the way they've represented it within their very small social media statements has done nearly a decent enough job to represent what you just said.
No, I agree. I mean, they were stating that it's here, it's now. You know, that was all the Twitter and the pictures and everything. Yes. Was like, here we have this association. Again, it is far more prelim than that. I mean, they don't have, you know, the basis of everything moving forward. So this is just to say, hey, you know, do we agree with what's going on? Do players have a say? Are we getting money? And all those answers are basically no. Let's change this. I mean, again, you know, I had certain situations. Tara Daniel got in for the spot of Hugo de Leon in Cincy. They passed a law, a bylaw or amendment or whatever you want to call it, 3 days before Tara's match that basically says if you test positive, it seems like the person that tests positive gets the money for the first round. So Taro's not making money. So it's like, you know, this was just kind of a straw that, you know, was put into a bunch of straws that said, hey, I don't think we have a place here for a player's voice. How can we change that? And that's where we're at now. And again, to go back, to go to your next point for the women's side, of course we want the women involved. I mean, in this situation, it's strength in numbers, just like anything else. If we can get 300 signatures or 600 signatures, it's, you know, of course they want that. I'm sure they want that, and they're looking for that. I don't know if the lawyers say, yeah, we'll help create a separate women's one. I don't know if it should be together or separate or how that works. I don't know the ins and outs of that. I do know that there are strength in numbers, and we have to work somewhat together on this to come, you know, to be unified. But again, I mean, the questions that everybody are stating, again, do I know if I fully trust Novak? No. Vasek has worked hard. You know, I've known him personally at some level. I think he means well. Again, I'm trying to learn for myself, but at the same time, I don't like how things have been going for my short time on the ATP tour, and I think there needs to be change, and that's where we're at right now.
I think I'm just uncomfortable with a couple of things that I want to express personally. Number one, I really didn't like Novak's quote about the idea that, you know, nobody talked to him about, you know, the postponement after Naomi Osaka's very brave move to pull out, and then with everything that's happening here in the U.S. And then it seemed kind of reactionary that, hey, we're going to go with this now. And I know he's been planning this for quite some time, but it felt wrong to me. That being said, I also do agree that, I mean, there needs to be better communication from top down. No doubt about that. So that's one issue. But quite frankly, this, I don't know that I could, I'm just so nervous about you as my podcast partner, you know, if you will, being seen, you know, in this group right now, frankly, just because of the lack of diversity, the lack of female representation, makes me uncomfortable. And I have real questions about what the details are going to be. And again, me to you, one friend to another, the idea that you're in that picture right now is troubling for me. At the same time, I completely agree with you that long term, I think this is something you and I have talked about this for months, a year now. This is something that has to happen. And at the same time, I'm really uncomfortable with it because of a lack of details. Let me ask you two more questions here that are more on the, again, outlandish side. Number one, was there any talk in the meeting about the situation with what happened Thursday and the not playing as a result of what was specifically a quote-unquote American problem with racial injustice?
Yeah, there was a little talk about that. And again, it's not that anybody's against not playing or for it. It's just, you know, when Novak was speaking about it, he said, and this was an hour before he played Bautista or something like that. I think he got a text and said, this is what time we're going to play 2 days later or whatever the case may be. And he's like, didn't get a text, didn't get a call. There's four players in the tournament left. You can call them and say, hey, what time is best? They thought it would be better for them to play earlier in the day to give them more rest for the Open, while the other guys wanted later in the day to give them more rest from the previous match. And it's just four guys in the tournament. You're not even talking about first round of the Slam. So, you know, again, it's just continuous lack of communication has led to really just guys being helpless and looking for that next step. And I agree, of course, there's a complete lack of detail of what this really means. And we didn't sign up for anything. Nothing has really been put down. So it's just this idea that, and we've been speaking about it too long, for me not to at least encourage them to fight for something. And that's where I'm at right now. When I was sitting listening to them, I was like, how do I not allow them to at least scare the ATP? How do I not support that in some way, shape, or form? And again, there are a billion things. The number one thing that we sign every year, and as you can ask any player, if you don't sign this just because you forget, they will hunt you down before your first match at Australia.
Yeah,
they will,
I know,
hunt you down. And this is where the ATP proclaims that you're an independent contractor. It says you can't boycott. It says you can't protest. It says you can't do any of these things. Yeah. But if you don't want to sign this, you can't play. So when, you know, this association is saying, well, we're not going to boycott, you know, I'm like, are we going to have amendments to that contract? Like, what does that look like? How do we get this all done in the next 3 months, especially with Australia not really knowing what they're doing with their COVID situation? So, again, there's a billion things happening, which are all up in the air, but it came down to in the end that I'm not fully getting behind anything, but I have to encourage them to at least scare the ATP. That was the final.
Do you know if Justin Gimelstob is behind this or waiting in the shadows to be part of the reveal as the head of the association?
I heard absolutely nothing about that, and that would possibly change people's minds.
I didn't realize until last night, Noah, and I found this out as I was kind of reading all the social media reaction. I didn't know that Justin Gimelstob has blocked me on Twitter.
It's a compliment to you, or how are you taking it?
I don't blame him.
For other reasons.
No, I mean, I talked about it on social media, just his the thing he did at a challenger back in the early aughts. was the worst thing I'd ever seen on court. And I guess that caused him to block me. That was in the midst of his situation with his wife. And I mentioned that, and he's blocked me. And it's probably not great considering he is such a power broker in the sport despite all of his transgressions. I have a real concern about him being involved. I would have a massive concern about him being involved.
Again, I know you heard things a few years ago. I don't know if it's the case now. I don't think it is. Nobody's heard of anything, so I can only go with what I see and hear.
How do you feel about it now? It's been 24 hours.
About the whole situation?
Yeah.
With combining what's happening with the COVID situation right now as well,
yeah,
I think it's evident that the ATP is not ready, that federations are not ready for things. And that's my concern right now. So you take the association away from everything. I'm looking at the people and the groups that control our sport,
yeah,
and they are ill-prepared for what's ahead of them and for what's at hand right now. And that's what scares me. And then again, that's what leads me to hoping that taking, you know, a left turn here can actually do us some good. And that's what I have to at least encourage for the time being.
And I think that's a fair response. As I just said a few minutes ago, I'm certainly concerned for you in case it goes south. But I think that's a completely rational way to approach it, and I can't fault you at all for that in any way, shape, or form.
You could still fault me, and you'll find a way to fault me. But you know, it's just again, you know, and the USTA has worked very hard up until this point. Right now, this is you go left or right here. Mm-hmm. This is it. You say you're prepared. They said it multiple times. We are expecting positive tests. So what do you do? Because every minute that you're waiting, because it's just a yes or no decision, or you're looking at other players that could be in contact, whatever the case may be, every minute that goes by is one less minute. You know, we are playing tomorrow. This is starting tomorrow. It worries me. It was bad timing. I don't envy their position. It worries me.
Let's just real quick, as we're going to try to wrap up here. You said to me right before we started recording how amped you are right now. I mean, you just seem like you're bouncing around. I have to admit, I haven't really left my hotel room. I didn't get my negative test until noonish today, and then had some phone calls and things. And obviously we were going to record our podcast. I haven't really been around the site much, but you seem like you're in a really good mindset. I don't think I'm in terrible space either. It seems like you're feeling good though.
Coming to terms with reality a little bit, which is tough, but I think it took some time to actually be a little bit in the tennis world to see and to know just how difficult these next few months will be and the uncertainty of and what that means. So I almost need to be in it to say, wow, you know, this is going to happen. I'm going to have to be okay with it. And let's see. You know, let's deal with the matter at hand, and it's putting me in a pretty good mindset.
How's it been seeing Ty? Not just Ty, obviously, but Ty.
Right.
Ty, I know, is one of the closest friends for you. How's it been seeing these guys?
Yeah, it's been weird seeing guys again. It's a little exhausting, and at first, I think people all over the place are a little apprehensive about everything, saying hi to people,
yeah, right,
touching, whatever the case may be, and also. Here I am, I feel like I've pissed off people a few times,
yep,
over this time. And I was like, you know, what does that mean for me? But it seems like it's okay. And, you know, everybody's in pretty good vibes. I think people are happy to be here. With that being said, there's a lot of shit going on and it's kind of exploded. But I think we're all in the same place. It's like, let's see what happens during the Open. Let's see if we can get through it and you know, at least play a little bit of tennis before stuff goes even further sideways.
Well, on that positive note, I believe you will have played by the next time we record a podcast next weekend.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I might have hit a volley at that point.
God, I hope not. I hope you hit more volleys than your partner.
I was going to say, me or Neto, you're picking one.
Good luck. I don't know. I know you and I had talked, and I wanted to just at least, you know, full transparency here, about potentially doing a podcast or two on the grounds. I think it would be – it's doable. I do have like a 10-foot microphone cord, but I don't know that it's necessarily worth risking your ability to compete or whomever our guest would be, their ability to compete if it's seen to be of bad form to be recording a podcast. So we're probably not going to record one on site. If we get one on Zoom, so be it. But I just wanted to at least let all of you guys at home know about kind of the situation. It is, like we said, we're on different tiers. As a result, I'm not supposed to be interacting with Noah very much or any player very much. So I'm going to try to respect that as much as I can, because too many players have not had the ability to pick up money over the last 6 months, and it's pretty crucial that they do. So that will be likely to prevent us from doing anything on site with a guest. We'll see what we can do, though, as the week progresses. Any closing thoughts from you? Oh, who's going to win the tournament?
What's tournament?
Any of them.
I'm at Prague. I'm looking at...
Jeannie's playing.
Jamie's playing. Oh, yeah, that Prague tournament has like $3 million in prize money. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Oh, yeah, this one just played. Yeah, there's just challenges going on, people getting points, and I'm just sitting in a hotel room doing a podcast with you, so that's good stuff.
I mean, listen, you were amped at the beginning of this. I mean, you got to be still amped. I mean,
The mohawk is gone. The mohawk is gone.
But you're going
to be – you're on radio. I don't even know what – what is this professionalism you're trying to uphold?
I want to be on the
– Stop. Just stop.
I want to be on TV.
Stop. Stop.
Someday. I want to be on the TV world feed, too.
No, stop talking.
All right. Love you a lot.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoahRubin33, at MikeCTennis, and at Behind the Racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket.